but sometimes perhaps you had to stand and fight, if only because there was nowhere left to run. But he was no good at all with weapons, at least the normal sort. He said, if we leave the palace now, we'll be killed, right? I doubt it, said Mr. Savaloy. It's become a matter of the art of war now. Someone like Hong would probably slit our throats, but now war is declared. Things have to be done according to custom. Rincewind took a deep breath. It's a 1,000,000-to-1 chance, he said. But it might just work. The four horsemen whose ride presages the end of the world are known to be death, war, famine, and pestilence. But even less significant events have their own horsemen. For example, the four horsemen of the common cold are sniffles, chesty, nostril, and lack of tissues. The four horsemen whose appearance foreshadows any public holiday are storm, gales, sleet, and contraflow. Among the armies encamped in the broad alluvial plain around Hung Hung, the invisible horsemen known as misinformation, rumour, and gossip saddled up. A large army encamped has all the tedious problems of a city without any of the advantages. Its watchfires and picket lines are, after a while, open to local civilians, especially if they have anything to sell, and even more so if they are women whose virtue has a certain commercial element, and even sometimes if they appear to be selling food which is a break from the monotonous army diet. The food currently on sale was certainly such a break.
Pork balls! Pork balls! Get them while they...
There was a pause as the vendor mentally tried out ways of ending the sentence and gave up.
Pork balls! On a stick! How about you, Shogun? You look like... Here, aren't you the... Shut up, shut up, shut up, shut up!
Rincewind pulled D.M.H. Dibala into the shadows by a tent.
The trader looked at the anguished face framed between a eunuch outfit and a big straw hat.
It's the wizard, isn't it? How are you?
You know how you seriously wanted to become very rich in international trade, Rincewind said.
Yes, can we start?
Soon, soon, but there's something you must do. You know this rumour about the army of invisible vampire ghosts that's heading this way? DMH Dibala's eyes swiveled nervously, but it was part of his stock in trade never to appear to be ignorant of anything except, perhaps, how to give correct change.
Yes,
he said.
The one about there being millions of them, said Rincewind. And very hungry on account of not having eaten on the way. And made specially fierce by the great wizard.
Yes?
Well, it's not true.
It's not?
You don't believe me? After all, I ought to know.
Good point.
And we don't want people to panic, do we?
Very bad for business, panic,
said DMH, nodding uncomfortably.
So make sure you tell people there's no truth in this rumour, will you? Set their minds at rest.
Good idea. These invisible vampire ghosts, do they carry money of any sort?
No, because they don't exist.
Ah, yes, I forgot.
And there are not 2,300,009 of them, said Rincewind.
He was rather proud of this little detail.
Not 2,300,009 of them,
said DMH, a little glassy-eyed.
Absolutely not. There are not 2,300,009 of them, no matter what anyone says, nor has the great wizard made them twice as big as normal.
Good man. Now, I'd better be off.
Rincewind hurried away. The trader stood in thought for a while. It stole over him that he'd probably sold enough things for now, and he might as well go home and spend a quiet night in a barrel in the root cellar with a sack over his head. His route led him through quite a large part of the camp. He made sure that soldiers he met knew there was no truth in the rumour, even though this invariably meant that, first of all, he had to tell them what the rumour actually was. A toy rabbit squeaked nervously.
And I'm afraid of the big invisible vampire ghosts,
sobbed Favourite Pearl. The soldiers around this particular campfire tried to comfort her, but unfortunately there was no one to comfort them.
And I heard they already ate some men.
One or two soldiers looked over their shoulders. There was nothing to be seen in the darkness. This wasn't, however, a reassuring sign. The Red Army moved obliquely from campfire to campfire. Rincewind had been very specific. He'd spent all his adult life, at least those parts of it where he wasn't being chased by things with more legs than teeth, in unseen